Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that this morning in Jesus' name. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit translate to us even the words that we shall speak, and let our ears be open to hear, that our eyes be open to see, and cause our hearts, Lord, to understand what the Spirit is saying. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, everybody. The fruit of the Spirit, part three. This is peace. Now, as you recall, and every day we're going to recite the memory verse. By now, you should know it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Well, it is love, joy, and peace. Those are the first three right there. And we covered love, we covered joy. Today, we'll cover peace. It's also long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And then it is faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, peace, evidently, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. How do we define peace? There are many ways to look at peace. I mean, you can define, you know, peace in terms of, absence of trouble. You know, when everything is quiet, there's no trouble, there's no problem anywhere. I mean, that's a good form of peace. And, it's a state of, one dictionary definition says it's a state of tranquility and harmony, free from conflict or violence. You know, it says, it can also be the absence of war or hostilities, and the freedom from fear of violence, so that's one way of looking at peace. You know, peace can also be, considered as a calm and relaxed state of mind. You have positive thoughts and so on. There's a lot of ways of looking at peace in the sense where, things are quiet around, or you could just enter into a place of quietness. Another way of looking at peace is in the face of trouble. So it's not only when there is no trouble. That's great peace if the Lord can grant you that. But even when there is trouble, how can we experience peace even in the midst of trouble? Even if there is unrest everywhere, there's trouble everywhere, yet we can experience peace. So we're going to talk about that as well. So let's consider the quiet, restful state, which we call peace, when there is no trouble on any side. Right away, we see that, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, the Lord promises this kind of peace for his people. Verses 17 and 18 talks about, rest, quietness, quiet dwelling places, assurance, and so forth. So the walk of righteousness, he says, shall be peace. This is Isaiah 32 and 17. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You know, so, you know, this is the kind of rest that the people of God can enjoy, that God promises. Dwell in quiet resting places. You have quietness and rest and assurance, you know, forever. I mean, this is God has cut off all the troubles. There are some stories in the Bible, you know, some of those kings, the stories of which we read, you know, throughout the Old Testament about the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, they were always at war with one person or one nation or the other. Generally speaking, the kings of Judah were good, and generally speaking, the kings of Israel did not do well in the sight of the Lord. But, you know, they had their fights, they had their struggles, and sometimes the Lord cut off all of their enemies on every side and give them peace and quietness. You know, there was a story, you know, concerning David, the king. The Bible says that, you know, when the Lord had cut off all his enemies on every side and God had given him peace, you know, then he thought that, well, what next am I going to do? I'm going to build the Lord a house. You know, that was what he started to think about, you know, when God had given him rest. You know, cut off all his enemies. He was a man of war, you know, throughout his days. He was always in one battle or the other, running for his life or this or that, or fighting Philistines or this or fighting that, you know. But at one point, you know, the Lord gave him rest. And, you know, when he got that rest, well, my goodness, he thought, oh, what can I do for the Lord? I will build the Lord a house. You know, so that was his thought. Of course, you know this story. The Lord did not allow him to build it, but he built it in a figure. I mean, he made provision. I mean, he did a lot. Solomon ready for, you know, actually building. He made a lot of provision. So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. You can see where the Lord can actually do this, you know, for somebody. He did it for David. And it came to pass. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. It came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Well, that's a state of peace. You know, he was always in battle, always in some kind of conflict, but now God had given him rest. So we see that rest from all the external conflict and various things, you know, can be, you know, called peace. So now he had peace, and he thought within himself, so told the prophet Nathan, look, I'm dwelling in a house of cedar, the ark of God dwelleth in curtains, and so on. He began to think that he was going to do something for the Lord. Well, that's a good thought, you know. Now, some people, when they have rest, they forget the Lord. Now, people will run to the Lord, cry to the Lord when they, you know, when they are in trouble, you know. But after that, God had given them rest on every side, cut off all their troubles, then they forget. They just, you know, be merry and be glad and celebrate. Well, that's good to celebrate, but what are you celebrating if you're not giving praise to the Lord? You know, so, you know, when the Lord gives us rest, we must remember to give glory to God and think of what you could do, you know, for the Lord. as well. That was the story of David. His mind was always on the Lord, you know. And God loved him for it too. He said, well, this is a man that is after my heart, you know. And God blessed him. He chose, God chose the throne of David. And he called it the sure mercies of David. And we establish his seed forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God, what a wonderful blessing. Till this day, we have the sure mercies of David with us. And so this man, David, he enjoyed peace and rest from the Lord. And likewise, we see there are other stories in the Bible where God would give a king, you know, some rest from different situations. You know, there was a story about King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapters 14 and 15. Story about King Asa, you know, who was one of the descendants down the line there, you know. But he himself, at one point in time, descendant of David, I mean, at one point in time, the Lord began to give him rest, you know, at rest, you know, so that, you know, at the time of rest, he figured within himself, well, you know, what am I going to do when the Lord has given me rest? Well, he thought of a good thing, though. You know, one good thing he thought about was, you know, expand and do things. And so when the Lord gave him rest, you know, he, there were many years, I don't know, about 10 or 15 years, that the Lord just gave him peace on every side. And he said, well, let's expand during that time, you know, and they gathered themselves together, they offered unto the Lord, and they began to expand because they sought the Lord, you know, and the Lord gave them rest. Say, all Judah, they made an oath before the Lord, you know. They were shouting with a voice of triumph and trumpets and so forth. And they rejoiced, they made an oath, a covenant to seek the Lord their God, you know. Seek the Lord their God. They wanted to do that. And that was such a good thing. They put their heart in seeking the Lord. You can read that in 2 Chronicles 15. They made a covenant. They would seek the Lord. And that whosoever would not seek the Lord, their God, should be put to death. Whether small or great, or woman or man. 2 Chronicles 15 and 13. And they swear unto the Lord with a voice and all of these things. And, you know, they said, they would seek the Lord with their whole heart. And they sought him with their whole heart at that time. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. So this, in this particular story, we see that when people actually sought the Lord with all their heart, they made an oath to stand in his ways, to follow, you know, the way of the Lord. The Lord actually, you know, gave them rest. The Bible says God gave them rest, you know, from all side, you know, and cut off all their troubles. And they did well, you know, for quite a while. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's a form of rest, you know, that you can have when there is no trouble whatsoever, you know, and God has cut off all the trouble. What do you do in time of rest? Well, you can seek the Lord, you can expand, you can do things for the Lord, you know, etc. You know, so those were some cases of rest in the, you know, in the absence of trouble. Let's look at some other things, you know, that God said about peace. You know, that's not the only form of peace. You know, peace is a good thing to have, and it's a, you know, it's a good prayer to pray, you know, that the Lord will give us peace on every side. Well, we'll see what Jesus himself said about it. Here's a good prayer to pray about peace. Numbers chapter 6. One element of this prayer is about peace. Verse 24. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee." It's a benediction, but it also can be made a prayer. "The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." That's a good prayer. Praise the Lord. Well, peace is needed. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. They used to greet themselves like that, culture of the children of Israel. So the Lord be with you. Peace be with you. And so forth. Greeted themselves, with peace. It's a prayer every time you say it that way. The Lord be with you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. That's a good prayer. Now, in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, this is one way to get peace. One way is to pray for it, like Numbers said, and this is another way to get it. Keep your mind on the Lord. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So if we stay our mind on the Lord, don't allow your mind to wander here and there and so forth. Take control of your mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says if you do, well, then the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. How do we take control of our mind? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 tells us one way of doing it. Don't allow your thoughts to run wild or here and there. Control, direct your thoughts into things that are positive, he said. In this particular place, the instruction is, said, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true," this is Philippians 4 and 8, "whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So choose the things you are going to think about, and when you think on the Lord, when I think of the Lord, his goodness, there's a song like that. You think of the Lord, you think of his goodness. You begin to think of the Lord. Let your mind be always on the Lord. Let your mind be on the word of the Lord. Pondering his word, meditating his word, and so forth. That state of mind of which you are constantly thinking of the Lord and putting your mind on him actually has the capacity to bring you into peace. Thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. So that's another way of getting that peace. Well, of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You can't really have true and lasting peace without him. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 prophesies about him coming and calling him the Prince of Peace. Among many things, Jesus is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, if he's the Prince of Peace, it'll be hard to get any peace without him. We know that Jesus, when we'll see the words that Jesus himself gives to his disciples later on about peace, peace is called, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And he's the one that can bring true peace into our lives. Listen to what he said, in John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus talking to his disciples about the kind of peace that he can give them, and they lean on him. And this is true for us even today. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you," John 14 and 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Now, so there is a peace that comes from the Lord. Not just the one that, well, you have it because your enemies left you alone. And that's good. But this peace that comes from the Lord is the peace that passes understanding, no matter what's going on. Philippians 4 and 7 talks about it. It said, be anxious, starting at verse 6, for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, so there is a situation around you that will cause anxiety, that will cause unrest, you know, and so forth. You know, so he said, look, calm down. Don't be anxious. Yeah, every time that we could be going off on the tangent, the Lord tries to bring us back. Like, you know, when Jesus would come and say, fear not, it's because there was already fear in their hearts, you know. And then so when he says, be anxious for us, it's because we already have anxiety. You know, it's already there. All these things are happening. And so well, calm down, you know, just put your prayer toward the Lord, you know, supplication and so forth. But remember to be thankful. And what does he say next after that? And that peace of God that passes understanding. Now that's the peace of God. That's my peace I give unto you. You can't get it. People don't even understand it. How can you have that kind of peace in the midst of trouble, situation that will make you anxious, that will cause you to lose your sleep, stay up night, and so forth? You know, but yet he says, you know, that the peace of God that passes understanding will be with you. Ah, glory to God. You know, you can have that kind of peace no matter what you're going through. Well, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. Back to John 14 and 27. You know, this is not the one that the world gives. Sometimes the world promises peace, you know. But one side may break the peace, you know, and, you know, deceive the other. There may be ceasefire and then they break it. There may be this and that and so forth. You know, and the world peace, you never really know. But Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You know, that's powerful promise that we can have from him. Praise the Lord. Now, and he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, so this peace can bring your heart into a place of no more fear, because the Lord promised it. Now, there's a story in Mark chapter 4. We've told this story for so many reasons, you know, at so many different times. But I won't tell it today in this perspective of this peace in the midst of the storm. You know, the story of Jesus and the disciples getting in the boat and Jesus saying, let's go to the other side and so forth. And then the storm arose. I mean, we know the story. You've heard it dozens of times, even in this room, you know. So in the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 37, we read that story. The aspect I want to bring out today about this story is the peace that Jesus had, whereas disciples didn't have that kind of peace. Although Jesus called it fear and lack of faith, however, we see that he was actually, you know, you know, if you look at the way that Jesus was, you know, restful and sleeping, it was so peaceful, and the others were frantic and running around and so forth. Let's draw a contrast. You know, there was a great storm, you know, we're told, and the waves beat into the ship, and the ship was now full, water everywhere. But meanwhile, you know, Jesus was in the kind of, you know, back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. I mean, with all this storm going on. So that's the contrast we want to draw. The disciples were panicking. They ran to him. Master, don't you care that we perish? You know, on the other hand, you know, look at someone that was peaceful in the midst of the storm. storms all around. He knew the storm was coming. Yeah, you know, he's the Lord. But it didn't bother him at all. He was just going to sleep through it. Now, that's some peace. That's some real peace. Where you can just ride out the storm. I mean, look, there are some, you know, times we waste a lot of spiritual capital on many things that you don't even need to worry about. Jesus was demonstrating here that, look, they didn't need to be frantic and everything. A storm will come and go because I already said, let's go to the other side. Just be, you know, relax. But they were not relaxed. They didn't understand this way of peace. But Jesus, how did he get his peace? Whereas the disciples didn't have it. Well, first, he trusted in the Lord. You know, that's right. Because he said the Son can do nothing except what the Father showed him. So everything the Father showed him. So the Father already showed him that they are getting to the other side. So he knew that. Moreover, he spent a lot of time in prayer. You know, he would get up early in the morning before it was, long before it was day. And the disciples would be looking for him. They'd find him praying somewhere on the mountain. You know, he spent time ahead of the problem, praying against it. Not in the middle of the problem. Well, we can also call upon him in the middle of the problem. That's good too. God is a very present help in time of trouble. He's there too, in the middle of the trouble. But if you pray ahead, you know, sometimes you have, you know, a more relaxed state of peace because you know that you already prayed about it. Jesus knew he had already prayed before the day began about all the things that will happen that day. He already spoke the word, and so he was just going to go and sleep through the storm. Now, you can develop a state of mind that will allow you to ride out the storm, or you can panic every time there is a storm. Panic and, run all over the place. But the disciples were in the panicking mode. Jesus was in the restful mode. And he tried to teach them that, look, don't be afraid. Just have faith. You have faith. You know, the faith can carry you. Now, the word the Lord spoke also would have carried them, you know, across to the other side. But that's what he said. Let us pass over to the other side. And it would not have mattered whether there was storm or no storm, even if they didn't pray. Because Jesus already said it, and Jesus was in the boat. Praise the Lord. They didn't have to panic. Jesus was already in the boat, and he already said what they are going to do is go to the other side, not go and perish in the middle. You know, so there is a peace that comes from knowing that the Lord is with you in the boat. That's the thing that they did not understand at the time. They would later, but they didn't understand it at that time. So they panicked, and Jesus rebuked the wind, and then he rebuked the disciples as well. So peace can be also in the middle, in the midst, even in the eye of the storm, can still have peace. Now, God wants us to have peace by all means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a powerful verse. I mean, what does he mean by all means? Well, you know, some people say shake heaven and earth. Whatever it takes, God wants you to have peace by all means. Say now, the God of peace himself, that's right. You can't get it anywhere else. The only way you can get it is from him. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Now, that's a prayer. And the Lord be with you, he said. And that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, grant me peace. Face of the Lord shine upon me. Lift up his countenance upon me and give me peace. A good prayer. That's one way to get it. It's a good declaration. You can declare, you know, when the Bible says beat someone, you know, Godspeed, or don't beat them Godspeed. This is a good way of beating somebody Godspeed. Say, God of peace, give you peace. The Lord be with you. When somebody visits you and they are leaving, you tell them that that's a powerful, powerful farewell or a Godspeed kind of thing. Okay, well, God give you peace wherever you're going. The Lord be with you. That's great. I mean, that settles everything. Praise God. You know, and the Lord himself said, look, I'll send my angel before you. You know, my presence will go before you and I'll give you rest. You know, well, that equates to peace. Because, you know, cut off all the things that may trouble you on every side and it give you rest. Well, even if they're not cut off, it will give you peace. Peace in the middle of the raging storm. That's beautiful. Praise the Lord. So consider again Philippians 4 and 7. Even if the prayer is not forthcoming, or rather the answer to the prayer is not forthcoming immediately, yet you can have peace in the situation. Some people say, well, they prayed through until they got peace. Well, you know, you can have peace. You know, the Lord may answer it the way you think, or he may not answer it the way you think. The situation may be removed or not removed, but you can have peace. You know, this is the beautiful thing about the peace that passes understanding. That's why I put it that way in Philippians 4 and 6, 7. The peace that passes understanding. Whether the situation is resolved yet or not, you can still have peace in that situation. Now that kind of peace comes only from the Lord. My peace, I live with you. And you can't get it from the world, he said. So God wants you to have peace by all means. Now, the children, of God, there's a characteristic that is in them. They are also called peacemakers. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So God doesn't only want us to have peace. You know, God wants us to be a catalyst for peace. You make peace. Either you make peace with your fellow man, or you try to engineer peace between feuding parties. Yeah, a peacemaker. Yeah, there's something about you that wants peace. You know, you want peace. Let's talk about that for a bit. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Well, what do they do? Or, you know, what kind of peace? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 tells us this, you know, and also Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. But I want to read the Hebrews 12, 14 first before I read the other one. So let's read Hebrews 12, 14 first. He says, look, follow peace with all men. Well, follow peace with all men. That's why I wanted to read this one first, because the other one in Romans explains it better. Follow peace with all men. I mean, in your heart, you can have peace. They may not be at peace with you, but you can be at peace with them. You can't control them, what they are going to say, do, or how they are going to behave, but you can control yourself. You know, you have jurisdiction over only your own actions. You can't control somebody else's actions. You know, so you can try to influence them by loving them, but you can't really control how they are going to react. Now, you can try to follow peace as much as possible. That's why the other one in Romans chapter 12, he explains it better. As much as it lies within you. You know, live peaceably with all men, you know. So that means that sometimes you can't control it. I mean, you can try. You can reach out to them. They can slap your hand away. What are you going to do then? You know. So, and the scripture recognizes that. So that's why it gives us to it this way. Gives it to us this way in Romans 12 and 18. If it be possible, as much as it lies with you, you know, for the areas that you can control, things that are, you know, within your control, live peaceably with all men. Well, that's only your side. You can't do anything about that side. But from your side, now, some people are not peaceable. They are sons of Belial. You can't do anything about them. You know, the more you try to be at peace with them, the more disagreeable they become. But, you know, well, from your side, scripture says, as much as is, you know, within your power, do the best that you can to be at peace with them. You know, follow peace without man, you know. So, but only to the extent that it's possible, because you can't force them to be at peace with you, but you can be at peace with them. And if you are, you know, an agent of peace, you always want peace, you know, within yourself, between in your relationship with others, you always want peace. Then, you know, that's one characteristic of the children of God, according to Matthew 5 and 9. You can also want peace between other feuding parties. A peacemaker is someone also that tries to bring opposing parties and try to, you know, resolve the matter peaceably. But they have to use divine wisdom to do that. In the book of James chapter 3, you know, verses 17 and 18, we see this description about divine wisdom. One of the attributes of divine wisdom, as opposed to carnal wisdom or fleshly or sensual or even devilish wisdom, you know, because he describes it in that place, you know, some wisdom can be carnal, you know, sensual, and even devilish. But the wisdom that is from above, he said it, you know, what are the characteristics? Well, first, it is pure. Then, peaceable. You know, so you see that the person that is going to try to make peace, they're going to use wisdom. Because even one of the attributes of wisdom is peace. It's peaceable. They're always looking for peace, you know, try to find a resolution to the conflict. It is gentle, so you can see some of the fruit of the Spirit is there. It's easy to be entreated, you know. That means it's also meek. You know, it's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, that's a wisdom from above. You know, peacemakers, you know, will have that kind of wisdom if they want to live a life of peace or maintain peace or engineer peace. And the fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. He's sown in peace of them that make peace or sow peace or engineer peace. You know, they have, you know, it's like, yeah, God looks to them and it's a reward of righteousness that he grants them because they follow a life of peace, always trying to make a life of peace counted to them for righteousness. Just like Abraham, something was counted to him of righteousness because he believed God. Well, this one also, you know, is counted, you know, for righteousness when they follow peace, counted for righteousness. So, endeavor to follow peace. In your relationship with your parents, your children, your spouse, your siblings, your co-workers, your brethren at church, in your community, wherever, you know, follow peace with all men. It's counted for righteousness for you. And when you do it to the extent of the ability within your control, what you can do. Now, when the Lord gives us instruction of following peace, you know, the lesson about as much as it lies within you is you do your part. The Lord says, look, when someone has done something wrong to you, you know, what should you do? Well, you tell them their fault to themselves first, between you and them. You know, don't go tell somebody else, you know, but is that the way that we do it today? Oh, no. Today, when somebody does, you know, something, the first thing that they're going to do is, you know, go tell somebody else, you know. But that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is you tell it to your brother himself alone. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Moreover, he said, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You know, this is gospel truth. coming straight from Jesus. It's the way you should do it. If before you tell somebody else what somebody has done to you or against you, you got to tell it to them first, between you and him alone. Many people either don't know that this is in the scriptures or completely disregard it. You know, but this is what Jesus said. Tell it to them alone. Now, that's you as much as possible and lieth within you. That's you trying to make peace. Now, does it mean they're going to accept your olive branch? No. They may slap your hand away or whatever. Yeah, but you do your part. Jesus said, well, tell it to them. Rather than tell it to somebody else, tell it first to them. Now, there are other steps later on, you know, that you can do while you're still trying to seek peace. Now, if you tell it to them, if he shall hear you, then you've gained your brother. And you see, you've reconciled. And God has called us unto reconciliation. Now you're reconciled with your brother, and all is good. You know, you've made peace. You've patched things up, as some people say. You've made peace. It's good. You know, you're good. You know, and you put it behind you. You know, but if he will not hear thee, you have some options. You know, one of the options is you can just forgive him and let it go. Now, if the matter is still troublesome and you need to get to the bottom of it, then there are some other processes to follow. You don't always have to do this. It's not every time that you have to report the person just because they didn't hear you. There's always forgiveness. Forgiveness trumps everything. You know, so, but Jesus is giving you a way, an option here. If you still want resolution to that thing, you know, and they are not willing to come to the table, so to speak, well, then, you know, bring other witnesses and so on and so forth. Then eventually, if they don't hear those, you know, tell to the church and so forth. That's in resolving matters that are beyond, you know, just simple, you just want to forgive. It could be maybe there is a matter, maybe somebody took something and you want them restored or want it restored. Or I don't know. Whatever it may be. But, you know, there's a higher law and grace. You know, I believe that we can forgive. When you try to reach out, if they did something wrong to you, you can try to reach out to them. They don't listen. You know, you can forgive them and move on. That's always possible. However, this option is there as well. But this is the part where the Bible is saying, as much as it lieth within you. There's only so much you can do, but do the so much. What part that you can do, do it. Yeah, let the other person, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But you do your part, you know. I've tried to make peace and so forth. Now, there's some people you cannot make peace with, unfortunately. You know, no matter what you do, they are going to, you know, they just can't. They're not children of peace because they just don't want peace. They're, you know, they're disagreeable. I mean, they're rude. They're obnoxious. They're this and that. You know, well, you still have to love them. Love them, forgive them, and move on. You know, don't carry any bitterness. You know, bitterness will not allow you to have peace. But if you want to be a real child of peace, you want the peace of Christ to be with you, get rid of all those, expunge all those bitterness, the root of bitterness. It'll trouble you. When the root of bitterness, they are troubling you, you don't have peace. Anytime you have trouble, there's no peace. So get rid of it. Praise the Lord. But you do it as much as is possible within you. It's not always possible, but do the best you can. You know, so let me summarize what we're talking about. There's also, I mean, global peace, you know, international peace and so forth. I'm not talking about that because I don't think that any of us that are here are world leaders, you know, but you can have peace in your communities as well. You know, you might be a group leader. You know, you have to always, you know, provide an environment that genders peace, you know, and so forth. You know, one of the areas to make peace is to, you know, I mean, just use wisdom and let, you know, give everybody a chance. Yeah, just use wisdom. I mean, if you don't let them speak their mind, you shut them down, you know. I mean, principles of negotiation is each person, conflict resolution and things like that. Each person must be able to, you know, articulate their situation and their position, you know. So if you're going to be a peacemaker, you may be one of the feuding parties, or you're the one that's a referee, you know, you have to use wisdom. You know, you got to let each person speak now. A person that doesn't want anybody else to speak, they just want their own way. Well, you can't make peace with them. You know, some people say it takes two to tango. Well, lasting peace between two feuding parties, it's got to come from both sides. That's why he says as much as it lies within you. The other side will not have any peace or have nothing to do with it. Well, you can only do what you can and you move on. You know, so, but here is it. Let me summarize what we talked about so far today. Now, peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how do we get the peace? Pray for it. Keep your mind on Him. You know, and let the Lord, you know, who is the Prince of Peace, let Him in your life. And He will give you peace. Because He said, my peace I give to you. These are all the ways that we can have peace. Well, if you have peace, can you transfer your peace to someone else? Or perhaps, because Jesus said, my peace I leave to you. So Jesus was able to transfer His peace. You know, you can order your household. Here are some things of way that you can transfer peace. You may not be able to transfer peace to your enemies, but you may, you know. And if your ways please the Lord, God can make even your enemies to be at peace with you, the Bible says. You know, but within your house, you can order peace. You make sure that feuding siblings and so on and so forth, you know, you control that situation. Now, your enemies sometimes too. God can, God can actually make your enemies to be at peace with you. He can do it. Well, there's no guarantee that He will always do it, but He can. Proverbs 16 and verse 7 tells you that. Now, when a man's ways please the Lord can make even your enemies to be at peace with you. You know, but if they are not at peace with you, or they choose not to be at peace, well, you can, you know, still be at peace. Now, the greatest kind of peace that we want is peace for our own lives, you know, which called, you know, the walk of righteousness shall be peace. You know, the fruit of righteousness is peace to them that make peace, shall be tranquility, rest, an assurance. My people shall dwell in quiet resting place. We have peace. You know, you're not easily riled up, you know, about everything. Now, a body at rest tends to continue at rest. The law of inertia in physics. If you are peaceful, there's a good chance that you will continue to be at peace. Now, if you are always agitated, there's a good chance that you continue to be agitated unless you bring that situation to the Lord. Lord can grant us peace. We have to bring it to the Lord. If you find that you are the agitated type, easily agitated type, well, bring it to the Lord so that God can give you calm and peace. A prophecy given to us by Neil Frisby said, a new anointing coming to the elect of God at the end of the age will bring calm and rest. Now, there's a song we sing like that. You know, that's peace. You know, calm and rest at the end of the age. Well, why is that important? Well, it's because, you know, there's cataclysmic upheavals everywhere. You know, things are troublesome on every side, but you can have peace. You know, you can see
you know, rest, you know. These, we talked about this the other day, these patrollers and alerters that came and reported to the Lord, they said, well, the earth is at rest. The earth was not at rest. But that's the one, that was the realm in which they are. You know, they operate where they can see rest. They operate, you know, they say the earth is full of the glory of God. The earth was full of violence. But yet, they were in the realm of glory. They were in the realm of peace. A new anointing will bring calm and rest. You know, calm and rest. Peace in this time, in this crisis times. We have crisis right now. The world, you know, Jesus himself spoke about it. He said, look, man's heart failing them for fear and all these things and so forth. You know, but you got to be at rest. But here is one of the last things I want to leave with us today on this subject of peace. We got to practice peace. You say follow peace. You got to practice it. But you have to practice peace even in little things. You know, if the smallest things agitate you, people get riled up over things that are insignificant. You know, if that's you, then you need to deal with that because you're not going to be able to handle some serious issues if little things get you all, you know, out of whack, so to speak. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, we see this principle. He said, look, if, you know, you have run against footmen and they make you weary, well, how are you going to contend against horses? And if in the land of peace, I mean, when everything is peaceful initially, you know, you can't even hold it together. I mean, that's in little things. Well, how are you going to hold it together when all hell breaks loose, so to speak? You know, when Jordan overswells, overswelling of Jordan, everything is blowing up. How are you going to have peace when you can't even have peace in small situations? If somebody says something to you, something simple, and you lose sleep over it for days, you know, how are you going to be able to deal with some serious crisis? So this is what Jeremiah 12 and 5 is saying. We need to practice peace, you know, practice peace. You know, there are some, you know, stable and unstable atoms when you do chemistry and all these things. The stable atoms, they just stay there. The unstable ones, they fly out of orbit. You know, we need to be stable. That will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the. We got to practice this peace. So try it. The next time somebody says something to you that would normally get you all riled up, just relax, smile, and say, God bless you, the Lord be with you. And move on. You know, and you can enjoy peace without allowing any poison to again into your heart. You know. So let no man take your crown, Revelation 3:11. But I would say it this way, let no situation take your peace. You know. If you take Revelation 3:11 and read it a different way, you could say what I just said. Look, don't let anyone take your crown. Don't let any situation take your peace. You know, why? It's not worth it. You know, smile a little more. You know, in fact, science, you know, I've learned from, they say science, you know, even smiling and the muscles in your face, it takes about 7 muscles in your face to smile, but it takes about 21 muscles in your face to frown. You know, if you frown a lot, your face will get wrinkled more easily. Smile a while and, you know, give your face a change. Lift your hands. There's a song we used to sing like that. Smile a while, give your face a change, you know, and so forth. Just relax, you know, take the load off. You know, so chill. We'll use whatever language they use these days. But, you know, let's know that this is serious. You know, it's not everything. In a husband and wife relationship, for instance, you know, you don't have to get angry over everything. You know, chill out, you know, just relax. You know, that's one thing that I've learned over the years. You just relax. Whatever it is, fine. Just relax and move on. You know, you can choose peace. But if you choose to be retaliatory, in other words, retaliate for everything, you know, get your own back, do your own thing. I mean, you know, take vengeance into your hands. Somebody say something, you must say. Somebody say one word, you got to say three words back to them. Because, you know, I'm not going to put up with that. Yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah, that's all flesh. You cannot have peace. People that live like that, they will not have any peace. Because they're always agitated over everything. You know, so let's get rid of all the agitation. Be at peace. Hallelujah. You know, just, you know, be at peace. Praise the Lord. Now, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Job tells us, Job gives us that instruction as well. Yeah, thereby shall good come unto thee. You know, it is important for us to be at peace. You know, acquaint yourself with the ways of the Lord. It's really what it is. You know, it's just a way that the Lord does his things. Praise the Lord. So, you know, let's read this lesson in Job chapter 22, starting at verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, the Lord, and be at peace. Understand his ways is what acquaint means. You know, learn of me, for I am weak, meek and lowly. And meek means easy to be entreated. You know, meek, it's a form of humility, but it's meek. They're not, you know, strong-headed. They have things their way. Easy to be entreated, you know, and so on. Now, be at peace, acquainting yourself with his ways. You know, Moses prayed, he said, Lord, you know, show me thy way that I may know thee. You know, so learn his ways and you will be at peace. Don't get riled up over everything. You know, Jesus didn't allow even the things they said to him to bother him at all. Sometimes they called him Beelzebub. Sometimes they called him Samaritan because they wanted to disrespect him. All kinds of things. He just moved on. You know, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. These things that we're saying, this is how you get peace. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put iniquity, you know, and I will say again, thou shalt put strife away from thy tabernacles. Wherever there is strife and envy, there is every evil work. And you cannot have peace when there is strife. So get rid of the strife. Be at peace. If you do all these things, then real prosperity will come to you. Because you have, your mind will be clear to get instruction on how to get wealth, you know. And when you lay gold up as dust and so forth, you know, because your mind is now clear. You get rid of all the pollution and things that are clogging up your mind. You know, and these little foxes, the ones that spoil the vine, you know, the bitterness, the strife, the envy, the all these things. You know, and you know, a life that is full of those things cannot have peace. And let the Prince of Peace come on in. And let him move those things for you out of the way. Holy Spirit, the governor, you know, that represents Christ in our lives. Jesus has given us that spirit and he will help you. You know, but you got to yield those things over to him. When you hand him the master key to your house, you cannot tell him that he cannot go inside those rooms. You have a 10-bedroom house and you give Jesus the master key and the Holy Spirit. You say, well, but these three rooms over here, this one here is labeled unforgiveness. This one here is labeled bitterness. This one is labeled strife or whatever. You can't go in those rooms. Now, all these other seven, you can go there. That's not going to work. When you give him the master key, give him the master key. Hallelujah. You know, so that's how it works. He's not going to kick down the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You got to let him in. And when you let him in. Praise the Lord. And then that's when, you know, you shall have your delight in the Almighty
The Almighty will be your defense. He will show you ways to get plenty of silver. When you make your prayer unto him, he will hear you. You pay your vows too, you know, and you decree a thing and it shall be established. All of this starts by acquainting yourself with the Lord so you can be at peace. You know, that's it. It's by acquainting yourself with the Lord that brings you into peace. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson about peace today. I'm going to leave it there. My time is up. And consider these three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit so far. Love, we cover that. Joy, we cover that. Peace, we're covering that today. Praise the Lord. Now, these are wonderful attributes that only the Holy Spirit can bring alive. Now, one thing I want to say, you know, I should have said this at the beginning of this series, but I'll say it now. It's coming to my mind now. Bearing fruit is a sign of maturity. Why do I say that? Well, when you plant a tree, a seed that's going to eventually develop into a tree, they're not going to bear fruit the first day. Sometimes, depending on the tree, it is months. Some of them even years. Now, but finally, when the tree matures, then it begins to bear fruit. That's right. So bearing fruit is a sign of maturity. You must bear fruit. Now, Jesus talked about it. This one we already talked about in John chapter 15. Look, I am the vine. You are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. He's the pruner who prune things. Every branch in me that does not produce, he will cut it off. But anyone that's producing is going to prune it, you know, cut off the excesses, cut off the things he doesn't need so he can bear more fruit because it's already producing. To him that hath shall more be given, and he that does not have shall be taken away from even what he thinks he has. Now, this is serious. So we must produce. Fruit comes as a result of maturity. So a person that doesn't have this fruit that we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, then it shows that they are still a babe. They're not mature. It's not about the gifts. It's the fruit that show maturity. You know, gift is something somebody gives you. Fruit is something you bear. You bring it forth. It's coming out of you. Something you have, you know. So, let us walk on bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. It's a sign of, or actually it's the evidence, not just sign. It's the evidence, just like you say, faith is the evidence. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of spiritual maturity. So you can write that down as a punchline today. That's the evidence of spiritual maturity. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson on peace. My peace I leave with you, Jesus said. I pray that we have this peace. Say the God of peace himself grant you peace by all means. May the Lord grant us peace by all means. And as much as it lies within us, Lord, help us to be peaceable toward all men. Hallelujah. And the fruit of righteousness will be sown for us in peace because we ourselves are seeking peace. And we are making peace. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Let there be peace in our lives. And all the troubled waters, even as Jesus used to rebuke the storm. Today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Spirit of God, I rebuke the storms. How do you rebuke the storm? Say, peace, be still. That's how you rebuke the storm. Now, I say, peace, be still to every raging storm in your life. That the God of peace grant you peace by all means. I command the tempests, the storms, the conflicts, and all these other things that will try to steal your peace. I command them, peace, be still. Let the raging storms calm down. That's what peace means. Calm down and be still. And they said, who is this man? And even the wind and the seas obey him. Well, because he's the Lord. And we speak his word also. And let the seas, let the waves, let the raging tempests and so forth, let them obey this word. Because there's God bringing a new anointing. I bring calm and rest to the people of God in these crisis times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.